Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio as we're looking ahead to the NFL weekend, the Thanksgiving Day weekend. Glad you could be with us as we continue through the night tonight. Cecil Lammy joining us from footballguys.com and 105.5 in Denver as the Denver Broncos at 8-2 will be taking on the 10-0 New England Patriots. And not only that, news and notes from around the NFL. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, man, we got Thanksgiving football, got turkey on the ready. Like, it's time to talk some football, man. It's a great time.
All right, let's talk about this Broncos team. I want to know about Peyton Manning in terms of what you guys know about the. How hurt is Peyton Manning as we look now at Brock Osweiler taking over that job?
Yeah, Peyton's in a cast. That's not a good thing. You signed Christian Ponder, so you have a veteran backup behind Brock Osweiler. They're saying a couple of weeks, but honestly, this feels like a situation that could last much longer. Now, that all depends on how Brock Osweiler plays. Nobody's saying he needs to go out and just hammer New England, but, you know, at least keep it close, not throw four picks in a game. That will help Brock Osweiler greatly as he continues as the starter for at least a couple of weeks. But, Tony, it honestly might be more than that. It actually might be the rest of the regular season. Just depends on how Manning's foot responds to treatment. They're in a cast right now, and anyone that's had plantar fascia knows that's a problem. You got to just get off your feet, basically, not do a thing, and let it heal on its own. Now, it's a partial tear, not a full tear. A partial tear takes longer to heal. So this is a situation that's going to complicate things for the next couple of weeks, the next month, and honestly, we're here in week 12. It might just be the rest of the regular season.
Is this injury becoming a larger thing with Peyton Manning? I mean, in terms of how he's played this season, has the foot always been a problem? Has it been also an adjustment to Gary Kubiak's offense? When we look at the struggles of Peyton Manning, how much of this was the foot?
It's a refusal to run the Gary Kubiak offense. I mean, that's maybe kind of harsh to say, but that's exactly what it is. Now, the foot has supposedly been there since July. Now, I'm out there every day at a Valley, watching training camp every day. This wasn't something that we saw, you know what I mean? This wasn't something that we could pick up on. This foot injury just kind of got worse and worse and worse as he kept playing on it. And I say refusal to run the Kubiak system. Honestly, it's an inability. You know what I mean? He's not fleet of foot. He's not the type of guy that can work from under center. They tried that in the first couple of weeks. They quickly washed that away, went to the pistol formation, went to the shotgun formation. It looked more like the old Manning offense, but you weren't running the ball out of it. You were going three and out through the air. He was throwing a bunch of picks, just not looking like the Peyton Manning of old. Now, we need to discuss the future of Peyton Manning and also reflect with tons of respect for what he's been able to do. But honestly, right now, Peyton Manning is a bad quarterback, and I hate to say that. I'm not being negative by saying that, but that's just the God's honest truth. Right now, Peyton Manning is a bad quarterback. We'll see if he can get healthier and fix that and look more like the guy we're used to seeing.
What does Gary Kubiak, or what does this Denver Broncos, let me get larger than that, the Denver Broncos need Brock Osweiler to be at quarterback? Because with this defense, you know, they went 7-0 with a bad performance by Peyton Manning. They don't need Brock Osweiler to be the, you know, Tom Brady 2.0 taking over this job, do they? They just need him to be somewhat efficient and all right.
Right, just kind of be a game manager, really. I mean, when we look at the nature of the Kubiak system, and Tony, that's what I believe in, all right? Now, I was very optimistic about Brock in his first start, and he really outplayed what even I had expected. I mean, AFC Player of the Week on offense, that's pretty damn good for your first start. But I looked at Osweiler, and I go, okay, can he hand off the ball, and can he bootleg and do some rollouts? Certainly, he did that. Now, his air yards per attempt was 26 out of 28 last week, so he wasn't really pushing the ball downfield. He was more kind of dinking and dunking, a little West Coast offense, using those tight ends, shorter throws to turn them into longer gains. We may see against New England some more deep shots because Osweiler can throw 70 yards on a rope. I've seen it more than once out at practice. That is part of the playbook. But we really saw a basic offense, a basic system, and the Kubiak system against Chicago. I think they open it up more against New England this week.
Cecil Lammy joins us, footballguys.com and 105.5 in Denver, in as the Broncos take on the New England Patriots. As far as the Patriots, Cecil, they're 10-0, but injuries are starting to creep in. Offensive line, no Judy Ellman. Danny Amendola was hurt on Monday night. Are you seeing some weakness here with New England? Is there a potential that these things are catching up to them?
Yeah, definitely. And what we saw on Monday night is New England's not unbeatable, okay? They're not just this incredibly dominant team. In fact, the team that won it all last year, regardless of Pete Carroll's decisions, but the team that won the Super Bowl last year was a much better team with much better assets, both offensively and defensively. Now, we're seeing Malcolm Butler playing better at cornerback. That's a good thing, but going up against Demaryius Thomas, that's something you got to put in favor of the Denver Broncos. You look at their pass rush, they're number two in sacks, right behind the Denver Broncos with 32, I believe, off the top of my head. So you know they're going to rush the quarterback and get after it. But offensively, Tom Brady's throwing to Gronk and a bunch of slappies at wide receiver. Apologies to Brandon LaFell, but I mean, you've got no Danny Amendola, no Julian Edelman, and really it comes down to just featuring Gronk as much as you possibly can and then trying to get by with some of these wide receivers. No Deion Lewis in the backfield. And I know James White, hey, a Wisconsin back that's actually doing something in the NFL, as Melvin Gordon sits there doing nothing and Monte Ball sits on his couch watching football. The point is, like, James White isn't Deion Lewis. And LeGarrette Blount can only do so much. So, yes, they're undefeated. Yes, I believe they're the best team in the AFC. But they are beatable. And Denver at home could put up a good fight.
Cecil, Thanksgiving Day, we've got the Carolina Panthers at the Dallas Cowboys, and Dallas getting Tony Romo back. And I've been saying for a long time, I still can't believe Dallas couldn't manage one win during the seven-game losing skid. But now that Romo is back, is this a team that's ready to make a move, or are they too far gone?
This is a team that's desperate. And if I'm Carolina, and I love Cam Newton, in fact, I wouldn't mind to see Cam Newton win it all this year, and I say that as a lifelong Steelers fan, Tony D. It's very difficult for me to say that, but I love what they do defensively. I love the way that they play football, running the ball, being tough on defense, really tough. But Cam Newton company had better watch out, because Dallas is back to in the corner. This is basically a playoff game for this team, and you know what, Tony Romo, they're going to come out swinging, they're going to come out firing. They've got that big offensive line. They will try to wear down Carolina's very fast defense, because that's what they've got. Don't go lateral against this team. Go right up the gut. Can Darren McFadden hold up to what could be a 25, 26, 29 carry type of game? That's what they'll need to do. Set things up. Des Bryant versus Josh Norman, going to be fantastic to watch on Thanksgiving. And then can Jason Witten, Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley, these other guys kind of pick up the slack. But Dallas is completely desperate, and that's what makes this game so great, because they're going to come out firing against a Carolina team that should beat them. But as we know, any given Sunday or Thursday in this case.
Philadelphia taking on Detroit, and a lot of conversation about the Eagles and what's gone wrong this season. Are you hearing the dissatisfaction of Chip Kelly in Philadelphia? Is that a marriage that's tinkering on the brink of divorce here, or are we overblowing this because Chip Kelly succeeding became such a narrative?
I'm not saying he's going to do the Dear John letters like Bobby Petrino did. Well, yeah. What a man of courage there for Bobby Petrino. I'm not going to say he's going to leave notes on the players' lockers, but from what I've gathered, if this is an ugly loss for Philadelphia, this could be it for Chip Kelly, and not from the franchise's standpoint, but from his standpoint. The people that I talk to close to that team say that Kelly himself is dissatisfied with his own performance. Now, I think he'll show some courage and ride it out as long as he can, but this is probably the last year for Chip Kelly unless things start to click, unless more guys start to buy into his system. And it's not going to be the franchise that says, Kelly, get out of here. It'll be Kelly himself that says, I walk away. And, of course, you know, rumors swirling, does he wind up at LSU? Like, what happens there? But it's Chip Kelly's own dissatisfaction with his performance that could have him walk away from the NFL and back to the college game.
Yeah, that's what I keep wondering, because I keep thinking, if you're Chip Kelly, you if you walk away from the Eagles like Bobby Petrino did, you can't go to another NFL team. You have to find the college game for a while until the sort of the dust settles, and then maybe go back to the NFL.
Right, and let's be honest. I mean, his system, his whole style, you know, guys have to buy in completely to this. And for NFL players, for professionals that largely have never played in this system, it's difficult. It's a difficult process. You're dealing with free agents instead of dealing with high school kids that you recruit, and you have to buy into the system because you were recruited for the system. Like, it's just a much better setup for him to be a college coach. I love that Philadelphia hired him. I love the hire. I love outside-the-box thinking in the NFL. But at the end of the day, he doesn't have the talent put together to make this team a true Super Bowl contender, and that could lead to his downfall.
Also Sunday, the Pittsburgh Steelers go to Seattle to take on the Seahawks, and I bring this up because as a we're kind of waiting on Seattle here. I what do you make of the Seahawks? Because I'm looking at this game and I'm thinking, after their loss to Arizona, this could be it for the Seahawks. Are they really that close to kind of falling apart?
Yeah, they are that close to falling apart, and it really has nothing to do with the celebrity quarterback. I think that's all folly that people are bringing that up about Russell Wilson. Absolute folly, in my opinion. What it comes down to is offensive line in shambles. I mean, Jimmy Graham, for fantasy owners out there, you know, Jimmy, you get points for blocking, then Jimmy Graham's your guy. But, I mean, that move just hasn't worked out. They don't have the weapons. I like your rookie Tyler Lockett, but I mean, you're looking at lack of weapons offensively. You've got a banged up Marshawn Lynch. Now Thomas Rawls, who was fantastic last week, he's got a knee injury, was limited in practice on Wednesday. So that's something to watch there. And then defensively, I mean, it's difficult to keep that run together. And Tony, this is why I always go back to the Super Bowl. I mean, back-to-back Super Bowls might as well be a three-peat. And I owe Pat Riley a quarter for saying that. But it might as well be a three-peat in today's NFL. Back-to-back Super Bowls, so difficult. You were 1 yard away from being essentially a dynasty in today's NFL. We just don't see that. And that Super Bowl loss, I mean, the Super Bowl hangover from the team that lost, that really was 1 yard away from winning back-to-back.
Cecil Lammy again, footballguys.com. One more question about the couple of teams that are 5-5, Kansas City and Houston in the AFC. Their stocks are climbing a little bit. I know Kansas City's won 4 straight, and the defense is starting to kick in. Houston has won 3 in a row. Which team is a better buy right now in terms of climbing back up?
You know, I'm going to look at the divisions that they're in. We know that Oakland's hanging around. They're not there yet, but at least they're not the laughing stock. That's the Chargers this year.
Right.
But Kansas City there, they've got a 3-game behind the Denver Broncos. Of course, they split in the season series with the Denver Broncos. And I go back to, okay, Sharkhandrick West is hurt now. How bad is that hamstring injury? You bring in Spencer Ware, a Seahawks castoff, and an LSU Bayou Bengal. Always got to root for my Bayou Bengals. But, I mean, this guy's a fullback. Really. And now that's your starting running back. That's going to work. You've got one asset in Jeremy Maclin at wide receiver. You got an okay tight end and fake Gronk, Travis Kelce. I don't look at that team. I look at Houston and the way that they're passing 50 times a game, like, okay, DeAndre Hopkins can make plays. You know, Nate Washington, Cecil Shorts, what have you. They're not really going to run the ball. Plus, their defense seems to be coming around. And when I look at the assets defensively and offensively, then I look at their division. AFC South is, you know, the worst in the league. We could easily say that. They could make that run that seemed improbable, you know, a month ago. Now it looks like Houston, with the defense getting on track, could be the team that gets there. I think Kansas City dug themselves in too far of a hole.
Cecil Lammy, always great talking to you, my friend. I hope we do it again soon, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours as well, Tony D.
You got it. It's Cecil Lammy, footballguys.com and 105.5 in Denver, as we talk some NFL, including Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. You know, I don't care if Manning's out of this game. I'm really excited about that Sunday night matchup with the Patriots, because it's not so much Manning versus Brady that was intriguing. To me, it was Denver defense against Tom Brady. That was always intriguing. Even when Manning was playing and starting and didn't look like he was going to be out at any time, I still saw Denver as a defensive team that was going to be the thing that was going to give them the success. And that's why that game against New England seemed more appealing than yet another matchup between two quarterbacks, two legendary quarterbacks. That's always a good story, and that's always a good part of what they were doing. But as far as strategy for this game, it was always, can Denver's defense go up against the best quarterback right now, and that's Tom Brady. 800-777-2907 as we continue through the night on your Thanksgiving morning on Yahoo Sports Radio.